Well, the winds have calmed down. The sun is shining. It's another Saturday. It's Sports Radio 93.7. The Fan, Bob Pompeiani with you, flanked by Sean Myers, who is in the glass and doing all the good work today. Sean, how are you this morning?
I am wonderful. How are you doing, Bob?
Good. Did you happen to watch the big USA game last night against Canada?
I only saw some clips of it, but good to see that they bounced back because things were kind of rocky there for a few days.
Oh, Mark DeRosa was thankful they won a game there after what happened the last time when we thought they were automatically.
He knew all along, okay? Don't ever doubt him.
Don't ever doubt him. But they got the win. David Bednar came in the eighth inning, got out of a jam, got a hold, and then Mason Miller locked it down. They beat Canada, and USA's had Canada's number on just about everything these days, in hockey twice over, and now this. And so Paul Skeens will be on the mound tomorrow night, 8 p.m. in Miami against the Dominican Republic. We'll talk more about that matchup coming up. But hope everyone out there is doing well. I know some people still have power outages. I'm being one of them. But hopefully that'll clear up as the day goes on. There were some significant wins here last night. But we're here to have some fun over 2 hours and talk to you about anything you'd like to talk about in Pittsburgh or national sports. It's 412-928-9370. The Fan Twitter page is brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And if you'd like to connect on the Fan text line, it's brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say, there's never a fee unless they get money for you. Well, there was a lot of other stuff going on as well. A lot of basketball. If you love basketball, we should be here to talk about it. Duquesne went out last night, although they gave VCU a pretty good matchup. They were down 10 at halftime, fought back. End up losing 71-66 on David Dixon's farewell. You don't see this very often, Sean, in basketball anymore. A four-year guy, and Dixon had that great buzzer-beater win against Richmond at home last week where he hit a shot and nobody thought they'd be able to get it. Time went off, but yet it counted. They won after being down by 30 points. 4 years. That's a throwback. 129 games. I think it's the most in Duquesne basketball
4 years
history.
At one school. That's,
at one school.
That's the very rare part of it, because typically if you think a four-year player is probably minimum of two schools, maybe three, maybe
now,
even
could be four. Who would have thought we'd ever be talking about this rapidly, but we are.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago that if you transferred at all, I believe the school you were leaving could limit you to only a certain number of schools, and then you still had to sit out a season and, you know, end up basically not doing anything for a full year.
Right. No, well, that's the way it is for Dixon. Kudos to him, and he got a nice farewell. People were shouting his name. David Dixon. And he deserved it, because you don't see that kind of commitment these days at all. But Duquesne goes out. But that leaves today in the semifinals over at PPG Paints Arena, the Atlantic 10. It'll be St. Louis, which is now 27-4, and they had to come back from a 21-point deficit to beat George Washington last night. They will take on Dayton in one of those games. And the other one will have VCU, which certainly advanced by beating Duquesne, takes on St. Joseph. So that's a doubleheader today. The championship game tomorrow at 1. The other news at 412-928-9370 is Pitt's decision to keep back Jeff Capel for another year. A lot of people thought this might be the end of it. One NCAA tournament in 8 years. But if you look at, I think, what Alan Green, the athletic director, was looking at here, it's a situation whereby they're kind of trapped. There's a big buyout involved with Jeff Capel. They're struggling to meet NIL demands as it is. So if you move on, you're going to probably pay somewhere between $12 and $15 million for him to move on. And then you got to hire a new coach. And then you still don't have money enough, I don't think, in the NIL. They need more contributions there to make that possible. The other thing I'll say in defense of Jeff Capel is he was coming off an ACC Coach of the Year, I think it was 2 years ago, 22-23 season, I think he was the ACC Coach of the Year. And they had a good year. They got into the NCAA that time with 24 wins, I think 14 in the conference. And then the next year, they should have gotten in. They had a pretty good year as well, but they were left out. This year, they had a kid coming in, and I can't remember. I think it's last name Jackson. He was supposed to be a transfer from Iowa State. He's a big guy. He was supposed to be their starting center. And then he had a medical condition which did not allow him to play this year. I think a lot of what Capel had planned with this guy is to put him at center, move Cam Corn around, and have a bigger presence inside, because they were pretty much dominated inside all season long.
I know, just listening to his radio show that we have here every week throughout the season, that was something that Jeff referenced frequently, is that the roster he thought they were going to have in, let's say, August was no way what the roster actually was when they got out there for meaningful games. Early in the season, I think maybe they had a few more guys, but yeah, that absence all season long certainly lingered, and then they had other guys go down at various points in time. So when they were playing in January and February in the heart of the ACC, they did not have, you know, the full right. guys available, although that is something that a lot of teams do deal with. It's a reality of college athletics.
Absolutely, but on a team like Pitt, you need everyone to be there to have the kind of year. And again, I'll give him a pass on that because of Jackson and the I think it was a heart condition he had. But here's the other thing moving forward for them. They have a number 12 ranked recruiting class. They have some 4-star recruits coming in. So Jeff Capel has set up shop next year where they can get, and who knows what they add in the transfer portal if they have the money to do it. But now with him staying, they could have maybe extra money to do it. That could be a quick turnaround. That's what we've seen in basketball, quick turnarounds. And Pitt is counting on that. So I understand that decision. I could have understood the other way, too. If it was back the way things used to be and you missed the tournament 8 years in a row and it's all because you're not bringing in the right people, okay, fine. You know, Kevin Stallings lasted, a couple of years here, and that was bad. But it was only a couple of years. But then things changed with this transfer portal, and I also all of these are now considerations. In fact, Pitt has a GM, like most teams, about trying to raise money and doing this. And that's the hardest thing, raising money. So we'll see how it goes, but I hope they do get it turned around and Capel gets one more stay of execution, I guess you can call it. But hopefully he'll turn things around at Pitt. 412-928-9370. We'll get into some Steeler talk, Pirate talk, and also Radko Gudas is on my list here today. But I wanted to talk about something that happened this morning at Sawgrass TPC. They were ready to play the third round of that event, and so it was suddenly delayed. Now, I had visions in my mind of Scottie Scheffler back at in Louisville, where he got pulled over, and they thought he got arrested, was in jail, then released and shot a really good round. I thought, uh-oh, what happened now? But it turned out that there was a shooting nearby at a drugstore, I suppose, where two people were shot and killed. The suspect took off and ran through the golf course at TPC Sawgrass, and I don't know how he avoided the bunkers, and I don't know how he avoided the water, because it's everywhere down there. They had canines start running around all looking for him. They eventually got him after he stole a PGA courtesy vehicle car, and now he's apprehended. But it turns out he has a lengthy list of jail time, which is another topic that I'm not going to get into. But, I mean, how many times do we have to keep letting people out and not be surprised that they do the same thing? So two people died, and certainly our thoughts and prayers with whoever those people are and their families. But, man, things have gotten restored. They opened up the gates, and they started play.
Very bizarre that he would run through a golf course that is hosting a major or a prominent event.
Do you think he even knew there was a prominent
event? Well, that's a good point, but they have cameras everywhere there, right?
Yes.
If you're trying to hide, that's not one that I want to go.
Well, I apparently got through there, but about an hour later, wherever he was, they figured him out and caught him. So, terrible story to start the day there, but that golf is underway, and Ludwig Aubert has the lead in that one. All right, we have a lot to get in, Sean, so let's get right to the phone lines at 412-928-9370, beginning with Jay in Pittsburgh. Hey, Jay, how are you?
Hey, good. How are you, Bob?
Doing great.
I have a couple golf questions for you.
I look forward to golf questions.
Yeah, my first one is, who's your Masters pick this year?
Oh, Masters, it's early on. I like people like Siwoo Kim. It's kind of early. I still have time to debate this in my head. So, Jay, I'm not going to give you. I'll give you a host. I think this kid, Ryu Hitsutsani, is somebody I would look to. He's been red hot. I know that he's not the kind of guy. I don't even know if he's in the field. I don't know if he's one, but he's a real up-and-coming player, 23-year-old player. They got so many young players on there. I'd have to go with veterans, though. I'm going to include some of these guys who are playing on the LIV who are eligible to play in that one. But, I mean, it's hard to go against Scheffler. It's hard to go against all the guys that you know in the top 10. I'm going to wait before I give you an answer on that one. What's your other question?
Okay. My other question is, do you think Totteridge Golf Course in Greensburg is almost as hard as Oakmont Country Club?
No. That's okay. That's a flat-out no. And I like Totteridge. It's just not on the same. Oakmont is a torture chamber. If you're not hitting the ball the way you're supposed to, you can be really in for a long walk. It is a long walk when you're struggling.
Okay. Thank you,
Bob.
All right,
Jay. Thank you. Hopefully you'll keep it in the fairway when you play at 412-928-9370.
Bob, did you hear that we had going low return this morning with Chris Smaller?
No, I'm glad to see
and
that.
And Craig Mankins. And it's very interesting because Chris is trying to qualify. Now, I'm not a big golf guy, so let me confirm that I have this correct. He is trying to get into a mid-am this year, and he said he's going to have to take a few strokes off, but he thinks it's doable. And he was trying to figure out, there's, I guess, two different places where he could play a qualifying round. He said Green Oaks or Totteridge, and Craig Mankin said Totteridge is his best bet. So Chris is probably going to go there. So
Green Oaks is a good challenge too, though. But if you're looking to maybe, you know, depend, you have to fit a course that fits your style and how you play.
And he thinks that maybe Malzy's game is better suited for Totteridge, which I could have probably also given the answer that it's not quite Oakmont caliber after hearing that.
That's a flat out no for me on either of those places, as nice as they are. But I'll tell you what, Muller has improved his game substantially. I mean, he gets out there and hits it. and this is after he had knee surgery, but playing very well. So we'll talk golf if you like. I love talking golf. Sawgrass is a good major there. They got some big names on top of that leaderboard as we go through this. Radko Gudas, I wanted to bring him up too, because this is kind of stuff that makes me really just get mad at the NHL. So Gudas, after he deliberately knees Austin Matthews, who's now out for the season, not that Toronto was going to make the playoffs anyway because they've stunk this year, and he may have played his last game in Toronto for all we know. But he's out now for the season. Gudas, of course, does not get the in-person hearing. He gets the on the phone hearing, which then you know can't go beyond five games. But please make this make sense to me, Sean.
It's been like a decade where he's had the reputation.
Oh my God! He once had a 10-game suspension.
Yes,
a 10-game.
And he's a pretty talented player, but man, he is just always in the midst of controversy with other players. And obviously, you know, when it's some of the best players in the league that are suffering these injuries, it's even more under the microscope.
Yeah, and trouble seems to find him. Everybody says that, and that's the reason why Sidney Crosby's out. You can tell me that's not a bad hit, and I may tend to agree, but still, everywhere he goes, trouble finds him. 10-game suspension in 2017 when he took a stick to the head of Matthew Perreault. Then he has four other 5-game suspensions, total of 5 suspensions. So you have that kind of history. This goes to what I'm saying about the people who are out from jail. Same kind of thing here. Repeat offenders are going to repeat, right? If you allow them to, they will repeat. And Radko Gudas is repeating. Now, this was an opportunity for the NHL Department of Safety to come out and make a clear-cut statement here, and they chose not to. They gave him a 5-game. Okay, he's going to lose $100,000. But what's the message? The message is, we'll tolerate some of this to a degree. You can go ahead and do it. If you want to eliminate that kind of stuff, then make it hard for him. Suspend him for the rest of the season. Hit him where it hurts. You can't keep allowing guys like that to do this because they're going to continue to do this, Sean.
And that's George Parros' decision, right? He's the guy that I never understood how a player of his ilk, who was known as a fighter and not a skill guy and a guy who would be out there to try to, you know, I don't want to say injure other players, but he was basically going after guys. He was targeting guys as a player. For him to be in this position for years now has always baffled me.
Well, and again, he looks to players like Malkin, I bet, and say, you know, he's one of those guys who, you know, he doesn't understand the physical part of the game. All right, Malkin deserves something. But if he got 5, then this guy who's had a blatant history deserved 10 or more. But it didn't happen. So he's going to be out 5. Matthews is done, and the league continues to tolerate it. 412-928-9370. Speaking of the NHL, the Penguins, they got to get on the schneid. They got a break last night. The Islanders lost in regulation, so Pittsburgh's still in a tie with the Islanders at 79, but they've played one less game. So the Penguins need to win a game on this trip here, and they got Utah tonight, then Colorado on Monday. I'm willing to bet at some point here Sidney's going to return. He's been getting closer. I don't know if it's tonight. I don't know if it's, you know, the next trip to Carolina after the Colorado game, but he seems like he's closer. And we'll see if he goes tonight or Monday night. But whatever the case, they got to start accumulating more points because they have the hardest schedule left of anyone here. They got Colorado twice. They got Carolina 2 more times. They have Dallas on their schedule as well. 412-928-9370. Back to the lines we go. We have Big Paul in Washington. Hello, Paul.
How are you, Roberto?
Good. How are you, Paulie?
I'd be doing much better if, you know, part-time Joe was there with you, but, you know, Joe must be out on the link somewhere.
Joe actually had a memorial for his parents this weekend,
I think.
Oh, okay. So
well,
he went to
Buffalo.
Said,
I retract what I just said.
No, but you're likely, he probably still play golf. I'm not going to.
You're probably right, but, you know, that's nice that he's doing that for his parents. God bless the people. They lived a long life, and
they certainly
that was tragic for him. But getting back to the reason I called, I just heard you mention accountability and consequences. You have to have consequences, and you have to have accountability, correct? That's what you were referring to, correct?
When it comes to stuff like that, absolutely.
Right, right. But you did say it, you know, as in society. Well, I agree with you 152%, but here's my issue. How is Alan Green, and that's his name, the AD at Pitt, still employed today after that cockamamie explanation for why he's keeping one of the worst and most woke coaches in the nation still employed at the University of Pittsburgh after another losing season? When are people held accountable, Bob? I'm starting to lose my mind. It seems like you can do whatever you want. If you're owed a couple million dollars, we're not going to get rid of you.
Well, I think
Green, you were hired to make changes.
But he also inherited Heather Lyk's decision to extend everyone by long-term deals.
Bob, Heather Lyk was probably the worst AD, but this guy's a close second now because he had his chance to re-up and rewrite the ship.
And he might do it next year, Paul. And again, I think I said the reasons. Number one, he's got a big buyout, and they're struggling to make NIL money. If you give the 14,
that's 15.
Yeah, it's only for a program
that
has a hard time raising the money. They are clearly struggling to raise the kind of money to be competitive with some of these other teams. This was a part. This was not part of the game. Until recently, and now you have to consider all aspects of it.
And Bob, I agree with you on that in that regard. But you know what's really even worse is name, image, and likeness itself. There is no more loyalty. And fans like myself and you, we're getting sick and tired of looking at rosters and where these guys go.
Terrifically
this isn't
true.
College athletics anymore.
No, it's a pro league.
Professional college athletics.
I totally agree. But there is no CBA. Listen, I said that the other day. I thought it was time for a change. But after listening to what he said, I understand what constraints he has. I do. Because you have to consider the money that they're trying to allocate for players, which is most important these days.
He has a problem, Bob.
I know that, but that ship has sailed. It's wide open, and there's no cap on anything at this point.
Would you not agree that we hired the wrong coach from the word go to begin with?
No, I'll be perfectly honest. Back then, I thought he was a good hire. He came from North Carolina blood.
But
he played, coached at Oklahoma. He got one of their teams to the Elite Eight. I understand that. He went to VCU. He got them to the NCAAs. I could have, at the time, I totally thought he was a good hire. So I'm not going to change my opinion on that because it's out there. My other opinion was I would have understood a change. In fact, I thought it was coming. Now, all I can do is look at the reasons why he's staying. And a lot of this is a one-year stay, I think. If 2026 does not go well, the buyout goes shorter, less buyout, and then you can get rid of him at that point. So
well,
I think it's a one-year.
I listened to what you said yesterday. You said Jamie's son works for the Pirates. So I was hopeful that what you leaked out there was going to come to fruition. But we're going to be here next year, Bob, and I'm going to be calling you next year, hopefully, and I'm going to be telling you how he should have been fired again, because this is just a train wreck with Jeff Capel.
Yeah, it's not been good, no question about that, and I'm never going to say it was. I'm just telling you that I think the reasons that he gave for this are related to money and how they're struggling to raise it.
Look back at the last couple of years, all the other reasons why he gave for losing seasons, because it's the same old, and if I had Blake Griffin at Oklahoma, I'd have been successful too, Bob. And I think that we all know what's going on.
But he also recruited him there. You know, that's part of this whole thing.
Well, yeah, he's recruited a lot of people to Pitt. They ain't here no more. One's playing for Kentucky. Recruit guys that are.
He also has a couple of guys in the NBA.
Accountable, Bob. I agree with
Paul. I understand that. I do. And like I said, I thought this was going to be the time, but now that it hasn't happened, I can't control that. He made a decision,
Bob,
and I'm trying to explain the decision he made, and I get it.
Since Joe never asked you, I'm going to ask you. Can I drive the cart whenever you and him decide to play around together?
You strike me, Paul, as someone who would be very, very loosey goosey on that cart. I suspect
drink and drive, Bob.
Well, you don't have to do that to go crazy on a golf cart. I don't either. But Yeah, if you want to do that as a volunteer, I think that makes for some interesting conversation.
I'd love to do that, just to spend time, because I could see us having a long call. All round might take 5 hours to complete, because we'd be too busy arguing about facts that we're spitting out between the three of us, especially Giuseppe Ciccarelli there.
So, all right, Paul.
You have a good day,
you
Roberto. I'll talk to you again.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Chris Dokish put this out, and I thought this is interesting. Speaking of Jamie Dixon, Pitt in the last 10 years after Jamie Dixon. 151, 168, one tournament. Pitt in the 10 years of Jamie Dixon, 252 wins, 91 losses, eight tournaments. Jamie Dixon in 10 years at TCU, 187 wins, 132 losses, and five tournament appearances. So Jamie has continued to do it. You may not agree with a lot of what he does, but he, when you look at it there, that's 14 different tournament appearances that he's made. And when he was at Pitt, man, I yearn for those Big East days. Although I got to tell you, Sean, the Big East has some pretty good semifinals tonight, or finals actually tonight. It's St. John's and UConn.
Yeah, no doubt. The fascinating aspect is he was so consistently good, maybe not consistently great at Pitt, but consistently very, very good, and by and large did not send many guys to the NBA.
Steven Adams, but that was an accident. But he got him to play here, but he should have used him more.
And was he the coach when Taft was there, who had a brief NBA run?
He may have been under Howland. Yeah,
but either way, it was not something where they were consistently sending guys to the league. Jeff Capel has gotten multiple players in the NBA. There was two on the Washington Wizards the other day when Bam went off for 83, and yet it hasn't.
Carrington is one of them.
And Champ Penny.
Right.
It just hasn't translated to success. I know it's a different conference by and large. There's a lot of things that are way different than when Jamie Dixon was here, but the way that he was able to do it without necessarily having the absolute most talented guys really speaks to his consistency guiding that program.
And he's done a good job at TCU. They almost beat Kansas the other night. We'll talk about more of those matchups coming up. And Jaden, hang on. You want to talk about Radko Gudas. I want to hear from you, but I got to take a commercial break. So, Jaden, you'll be next up. And a big thank you to our show sponsors, PNC Bank, which has been with me here for a long time. PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865. Also, number one Cochran, Go One Better, always in style at number one Cochran, and Shendorovich, and Fishman, where they got your back, not your wallet. Sean Myers behind the glass taking your calls, and all you have to do to call the program is hit these digits, 412-928-9370. On X, it's at KD Pomp. Sean, what is your X address?
I always have to look this up because I'm so infrequently telling people. It's SD Myers 1, Myers spelled M-E-Y-E-R-S, much like how Seth Myers spells it.
But you're not Seth Myers.
I don't think so.
Call me Seth. All right, let's get back to the conversations online now. We have Jaden, who joins us on line number two. Hey, Jaden, how are you?
Hey, good morning, Bob. How are you doing?
Doing good, thanks. What's on your mind?
Well, pretty much, I've been thinking about this Radko Gudas and Malkin. Have you seen it was a $58,000 difference in their fines?
It's about lost money. It's not fines. It's about lost salary.
I see. So I looked it up and it's differentiated it by that. So I'm wrong.
Malkin makes more, so he's going to get more.
I see. All right. Well, despite that, what do you think of the league like
not
being
much.
Okay with a guy like Gudas continuing to play when he's attacking their star players?
Yeah, so, I mean, they have never
watched Matthews and Crosby and.
Jaden, they don't protect the star players, and that's a bad thing. Crosby is gone for two of the biggest games that the Olympics have because of him. And now Matthews, if they had any chance of getting back into it, Toronto, which I didn't think anyway, but still, he's done. He's a star player. They don't protect those guys. Again, it's a simple thing for me, and this applies to society as well as sports. Consequences. Make the consequences so difficult to overcome that people do not want to get involved. In other words,
caller mentioned accountability, and I like that, and that's what I wanted to follow up.
Listen, if you understand that going in, you're not going to do what Radko, unless you want to lose the rest of your season or a lot more, keep doing it, and you'll see. That was the deliberate knee and intent to injure. And it's funny for me that they didn't immediately come out with it. They had to wait until they heard Austin Matthews got out for the season label before they decided to do anything. And that's wrong. Intent is intent. It should not matter. If Sidney Crosby came back, which he didn't, and now he's out for all this time, which opened up another debate about whether or not these guys should even play in sort of these games. What if Paul Skeens tomorrow night against Dominican Republic takes a, you know, a rocket up the middle and hits him in the head and he's out for 6 weeks?
Nightmare.
You know,
oh, I mean, my gosh.
I get why they're doing it, but in this case, when we're talking about doling out punishment, the only way you reduce these things in the future is by giving stiffer penalties. If you don't do that, you're just asking people, you're asking repeat offenders to repeat, and that's what they do.
Agreed. Thank you for taking my call, Bob.
Thank you, Jay. You do the same. Thank you. Let's move along to my alma mater out there in Hopewell Township. We have Mr. Bill on the line. Hey, Bill.
Robbie, just so you know, you're fine. Like
just so you know, you're the only person. You're the only person get away with calling me Robbie, Bill Fontana. I'm just telling you that. You know me well enough and long enough for you have that grandfathered in.
I got to tell you something. Mark Schmidt, I was his announcer at Robert Morris. What a class act, class guy. Class coach. Rob, you know how hard it is to recruit out of Olean, New York.
Absolutely. He's done it for 19 years, but he did a good job at Rob Morris before that, I thought.
Yeah, he did. Now, I want to, one more thing, and you'll howl at this. Do you remember when you went to Hawaii and the late Father Kohler?
Yes.
Used to take you there? Well, you and I returned, when you returned, you and I went to the Ponderosa to golf. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, I'm thinking about this guy that wants to drive your cart. And you bought me a towel. You were like 18 or 19 years old. And I'm not going to put you – you had an accident, and you used the towel. Do you remember? And
I've had frequent accidents, so you're going to have to remember. I have a system that doesn't necessarily wait for me to get to where I need to go before it happens. Yes, I do.
Well, anyway, you spanked me as you usually do, and you can tell anybody at that station, I will put you and my son Craig and put up $100 for you two to play – anyone in a two-man scramble, and I'll put my money on you. I love you, Rob. You're the best.
Bill, thank you. Love you too, man. And I know your son's very good, so he can carry me around. So I'm going to need that. But yeah, that could be an interesting situation. I look forward to that. Craig Fontana is a very good golfer, so I'll take him on my side. We have back-to-back calls from Hopewell. Is this right, Sean? We got another Hopewell call. Yes, it's Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Tough act to follow up Billy Fontana.
It is. It always has been.
Anyway, talking about Connor Griffin, everybody wants to see him in AAA, you know, get his hitting down and stuff like
not
that.
Not everybody.
Well, not everybody, but those that do. But for the last 2 years, 3 years, we've been talking about Henry Davis. He's gone down to AAA, hitting the cover off the ball, and he comes up to the majors and doesn't hit the ball. And people ask why, and everybody says, well, the pitching isn't what it used to be in AAA. Well, if the pitching isn't what it used to be in AAA, what good is it going to do to send Connor Griffin down there? He's hit everywhere else he's played. And if the pitching's not good, it's just a waste of time. Keep him in the majors. He's going to make – if he's that good, he's going to make it. Pressure doesn't kill people. Pressure builds diamonds.
I think it's, you know, Mike, it's a good point both ways. I'm of the belief he should be on the opening day roster. But I do understand why people would think he should go down. He's never had a AAA at bat, and I'm not suggesting he spends 5 months down there. What I am suggesting is his average so far in the spring has not been good. He's shown a lot of power. I think he's ready, you know, from a tangible and intangible spot to take a space up here. But I wouldn't be at all opposed to him going down there for a couple of weeks and get off to a good start. And if so, it would all also be in conjunction with how the Pirates start. Last year, they had a horrendous April, and it cost them big time. I don't want to see them start badly. And if they do, and if the left side of the infield isn't hitting, you know, that's when you have to make a change, if that's the case. If it's me, he's on the opening day roster. I would imagine that most people would disagree with that. Would you, Sean? Would you think that that's – I mean, what do you think? I think he's shown me enough – first of all, he's physically tremendously built. He's 6'4", 230 pounds. He can run like, you know, 65 stolen bases. I think he has the power.
There's incentive to have guys like him start opening day on your major league roster, because if things go according to plan and he finishes top two rookie of the year, you get the compensation of basically a first-round pick. I know it's technically after the first round. Major League Baseball made this change a few years ago so that teams would have more reason to get these guys up there to start the season instead of manipulating the service time.
Mike, does that answer your question?
That's it. Thank you, Bob.
All right, man. Thank you for the call. 412-928-9370. Casey's in the car. Now Casey is on the fan. Hey, Casey.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I was at the gym yesterday when I heard the whole Matthew thing. I had just now seen the hit. And the thing that got me fired up the most is that how do you, as Matthew's teammate, not go clean him out? Like, you see him go knee-on-knee with your captain and star player, and you, like, you grab his jersey and just, like, push him around a bit. Like,
did you see their coach, Craig Berube, what he said about his team? He basically called him a bunch of spineless, gutless teammates, basically. He didn't say those words I'm saying, but that's my – knowing him, that's how he feels about them because nobody came to his aid. And, you know, at some point – if the league doesn't protect star players, then players have to protect star players.
Exactly. And, like, that's what got me fired up most as, like, a hockey player. Is that, like, if that was my teammate, I'd go clean him out. Like, how do you not protect? It's like the RG3 thing almost. Like, he'd get knocked down and none of his linemen would pick him up. It's like, what is going on functionally with this team that there's, like, no – I'm not going to – I'm a Penguins fan. Like, I don't care about the Leafs, really. But just as an outside perspective, there's something going wrong with this team, like fundamentally, if this is happening.
Yeah, I think there's a lot wrong with Toronto. Absolutely, I do, Casey. And I think Berube pretty much spelled that out. But he's the man in charge, so he can do a lot of things here. First of all, if they're going to play that game and Anaheim has him on the roster, then if I'm Anaheim's star players, I better watch my back. Because if they don't go after him, then they will be coming after you. And again, the league can stop this with one simple rule change. Just come up with a more comprehensive compensation. What's the word I'm looking for? Now I'm drawing a blank on the word I'm trying to get here. What word am I trying to get? You know,
strict.
Yeah, in other words, for strict. Yeah, consequence. That's the word I'm looking for. You know, a comprehensive consequence that makes sense. You cannot have this in the hands of George Parros. You cannot have this. Essentially, it's one man in there. Is that how I understand it? It's his call more than anybody. They should have other people, if that's the case, have multiple people in there. Why is he the only guy doing it? Or is he? Do you know, Sean?
I do not know, but yeah, it seems like it's something that they need to reevaluate.
Yeah. Casey, I hope they do, because this stuff won't go away if it continues. And Radko Gudas will be back after 5 games, and don't be surprised if he does it again down the road.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, who's next, right?
Really? I mean, it's not going to change until something else changes. They got to make the consequences stiffer. Thank you for filling in the blanks for me, Casey. I appreciate it. Have
of course,
a good
no
day.
Problem, Bob.
All right. Let's go to Steve in the car. Steve, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys today?
Oh, we're good. Just a lot of different things going on here.
At least we didn't blow away in the wind yesterday, right? Hey, I just wanted to chime in on the Connor Griffin talk. I mean, the comp to Henry Davis, first of all, I don't think is fair with the whole hitting. He hit, but the Pirates kind of screwed Henry Davis up by bringing him up and putting him in the outfield. I think that's what caused Henry Davis. Now he's had enough time where he can put it together, and he's not. So I don't think that comp is fair. But I'm fine with starting him in the minors for the first few weeks to a month in the season. Regardless of how good or how bad the Pirates do, I do believe he does need to have at least some pitching, like have some at-bats against pitching in the minors. But regardless, I would still bring him up within that first month of the season.
Well, I think that will happen. At worst case scenario, he'll be up here. It's just a matter of when he'll be up here. I think if you look at Paul Skeens' promotion, it happened on May 11th or 10th, one of those days. So it was through the month of April. Excuse me, and then into May. And everybody knew he was ready to go. I think people have the same feeling about Connor Griffin. They know he's ready to go. Right. If they want to give him just a couple of at-bats, okay, fine. But you better hope that they don't start badly and it's because of the left side of your infield not hitting. So, anything else?
That's all I had. I appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you. See, I think most people now see – most people have shifted. It would seem like a 100% majority there were like, okay, we're going to have him up here to start the season. Now people are going the other way. And I get it. There are guys like Trout who spent a lot of time, not a lot, but how many times he had several hundred at-bats in the AAA.
Yeah, he got called up, struggled, got sent back down, and then the next year, once he came up.
What about Juan Soto?
He came up very young as well. I'm going to see.
But he also had AAA at-bats, I think, before he ever started. And he was a teenager where he got. But I also think for at least a couple of weeks, he was down there in AAA. One more call before we get a break here, and then we have more calls coming at 412-928-9370. Mark in Squirrel Hill is up next. Hey, Mark, what's going on?
Hey, Bob. Wanted to talk about that Gudas hit. Guy's a dirty player. He hurts it in the Olympics. He hurts this guy. Russ gets three games when he hits the guy from Vancouver. And then you had the situation where Gino gets five for hitting a guy. And this Gudas, who's a repeat offender like Wilson and the rest of those goons, they end up getting nothing. And what will he do? He'll come back and do it again. And it's a shame.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly the point. You're right. Brian Rust, I forgot about that. He got three games in Vancouver. And honestly, Brian Rust is not a dirty player. He plays hard. He does not. He's a responsible player. And something like that happens. I honestly thought it was more accidental than anything else. I mean, just the way people are in the slot like that, going for a puck rebound. But, okay, they gave him three games. Three games for, I think he was a non-offender. He never had anything else. Malkin has had some suspension time. So, therefore, I understood he was going to get some. But if he gets five, Gudas should have gotten the rest of the season. You know,
exactly. And I'll leave you on that note. Mario called it a garage league, and it still is. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Thank you. I appreciate that. We got Greg. We got Rich on the line. We'll come back with your phone calls coming up here as we go until 1 o'clock today. But if you haven't been able to win your tickets to The Night Before featuring Jason Aldean, have you not done that? Well, we've got you covered. If you stop out to Bowser Chevrolet in Monrovia from 3 to 4 on Wednesday, March 18th, you'll get details at Y108.com. More calls on the way. We'll also get into Penguins and the Mammoth taking place tonight in Utah. It's a dangerous team they got to play. And a lot of great matchups this weekend when it comes to the conference tournaments as we get ready for March Madness selection show coming up on Sunday night. Bob Pompiani with Sean Myers back with more of your calls right after this on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. I want to give you the weather here before we go back to the phone lines because it is brought to you by Secure Money Advisors. If you're looking to retire soon, let Secure Money Advisors get that retirement on track. Chilly today, high of around 47. All those winds that we had yesterday have somewhat subsided. There's still, you know, gusts out there, but hopefully everyone who doesn't have power will get that power on soon. But that's brought to you by Secure Money Advisors. We go back to the phone lines, and let's go out to Rich, who joins us in Forest Hills. Hey, Rich, what's going on?
Hey, Bob. Hey, Bob, how are you doing today?
Good. What's up with you?
Great to talk to you. Pirates comment and a Penguins comment. Your last caller had mentioned Lemieux's comment about a garage league. I recall, I'm not sure if it was Kerry Fraser or Paul Stewart. It was one of those referees that wouldn't call.
I think it was Paul penalties. Stewart. The late Paul Stewart. I think he passed away.
Yeah, wouldn't call penalties that were made against Lemieux because he was too big and he should have been able to handle himself.
Right.
You know, this George Soros mentality is grossly misplaced in the role that he's in. I mean, I'd much rather see a bunch of geeks that never played the game, that went to law school, that would serve in that capacity. I mean, this is still a remnant of old school hockey where you need Colin Campbell and Dave Stewart or George Soros.
Why do those guys all get the job, though? That's what I don't understand, because they're normally the perpetrators. You look at, you know, when they played, Colin Campbell was like that, you know. Paris is the same way. When he played, he was like that. So what, are they there to defend those guys? Because why? Because they're not as good? You know,
it's the old school original eight mentality. I mean, I truly believe that there is an element in the NHL that wishes they could go back to the original eight, you know, and any city.
So in other words, let's not feature the skill. Let's not feature all the excellent skating that we see and the up and down chances. We'd rather have quicksand approach where nobody's skating because you're afraid to get hit.
And the Olympic sized rink, you know,
right.
That's the other, this game could be I think twice as popular as it is if this old mentality would go away. But I know you got other people to talk to but I wanted to make a comment. I'm cautiously optimistic about the Pirates this year.
Me too.
I think the pitching staff is not going to be your traditional five-man rotation. I read somewhere that they were talking about Skeens and
Chandler.
Keller being the ones that are going to give you seven or nine innings. and everybody right. else is going to be.
I think that's true. I think that's true.
Well, I hope it's true because they a typical five man rotation won't allow them to compete the entire year. These guys just don't have that body work. But the point is thank God that Shelton's gone because I don't think that he could manage that. I'm cautiously optimistic about Donnie Kelly having the wherewithal to manage that, but that's going to be a tough thing for this team to manage the innings. You know, meaningful innings later in the year are not the same as non-meaningful innings later in the year, which is what they've had a long history of on this team.
Yeah, I think the bullpen is still a bullpen game largely. I would also think if it's Jose Urquidy, who's the fifth starter, he may give you some innings. They need innings for starters, but you're right. Guys like Ashcraft, guys like Chandler, if it's Barco, if it's Jared Jones when he comes back, they're not going to go more than five or six on a regular outing. So,
well, I mean, it gives them, those guys, a chance to ease into their careers
yes.
as well. So, I mean, you can really accomplish two things at once. And then last. This Henry Davis rant is just, it's so infuriating to me. He was 1-1 in a year where there was no consensus top 10. And I've said this before, his being drafted enabled them to have the money to draft Bubba Chandler. So everybody that's got a thorn up their rear end about Davis, just pretend he was drafted in the second round and Chandler was drafted in the first round. None of the 10 players in Henry Davis's draft class has done anything.
No, that's a good point. Okay. I agree because we looked at that as well. It's just that I think the expectation of 1-1 is, you know, you inherit those expectations as your 1-1, so you better be able to hit. I'm encouraged by what he's done to himself defensively. I think he's really become very good and reliable back there. Now if he could just take another step offensively, and at this point I wouldn't expect a whole bunch other than maybe, give me some, 12 to 15 home runs, 50-some, 60-some RBIs, I'll take that.
Well, I think the fans get help by just getting off his back, just let the guy settle in.
Yeah.
He was a hitter in college with minimal defensive skills. He's learned how to be a quality major league
yep.
Catcher. He'll figure out the hitting. It's just going to take him a little bit more time, unfortunately, but he's done what they've asked him. They need a catcher.
Yeah, and they have options here now. Joey Bart's still back there. So is Andy Rodriguez. He's had a pretty good spring. I'm not sure Flores, if he's in their plans or not. I think one guy who should be is Joe Stinson Garcia. He's really, and I know it's spring training, so I'm not going to overdo it, but he shows a live bat, 23 years old. He'd be very close to my roster, if not on it.
Good talking to you, Bob.
All right, you too, Rich. Thank you very much. 412-928-9370. Greg in Youngstown before we go to break, and then we have Simon Says in Pittsburgh. Hey, Greg, how are you doing today?
Hey, Bob, real quick what this guy was saying. I have no empathy towards Davis. Learn how to hit. His plate presence was horrible the last 2 years. And I don't know if it was the batting coach. I don't know who it was. But you're a first-round pick. You got to produce. I'm not going to cry for these guys. Number two, about Connor Griffin. He's a phenom. I don't care what sport it is, hockey, tennis, golf, whatever it is. Phenoms come up at 19, 20 years old. And he will have his ups and downs in the pros, but – initially, I just want to see him with the power and the RBI numbers. I don't care about the average. Averages come a little later, but I want to see the power numbers. I want to see the RBI numbers, and I think he'll be okay. I mean, if the fans jump all over him and he hits 20-some home runs, they're wrong because you're not going to hit. He's not going to hit 280, 290 this year. It's just not going to.
No, I agree with that, Greg. Thank you for the call. Okay. I think he's a guy who he understands the game. He's well beyond his years. From a maturity standpoint, I think he can understand a slow starter going through a slump. He knows, but he gets on base, man. He steals base. He does a lot of things that can help your club. He doesn't have to hit, and I don't think he will. I agree with you on that. He won't hit 280. It's hard to do that right off the bat. But you'll see streaks of the season where he just becomes somewhat dominant, and then you'll see streaks where there's a lull. And I think how Donnie Kelly manages that will go a long way in helping him advance in all categories. Simon Says coming up when we go to a break here. Simon, hang on. We have lines open for you, 928-9370. We're talking about Paul Skeens versus the Dominican Republic tomorrow at 8 p.m. in Miami. And that'll be his last start in the USA World Baseball Classic. And then he goes back to spring training. And then eventually the season starts and he'll be the opening day starter. We're talking about Jeff Capel, who is going to return for one more year. After most people thought he might have been fired, that wasn't the case. We'll get into that. We'll also talk about some really intriguing matchups in the Conference Championship Basketball Tournament weekend. It's all coming up right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Sun is shining in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania on this Saturday, and we welcome you aboard 93.7 The Fan. Bob Pompeiani with you, and we have a shift change. Sean Myers, thank you, Sean, for all your work. And now we have Nicholas Callis, who is behind the glass. How are you, Nick?
I'm feeling great.
Nicholas Callis, it's been a while. I asked him when the last time he was on a Saturday. He said a couple of years ago, but I do remember after you reminded me that your uncle, of course, works at KDK, and I introduced you as Paul Callis's nephew.
Back in the day,
So, yes, now we have a lot to talk about today, and you can call the program at 412-928-9370. We'll get into the Steeler acquisitions. We haven't really done that so much, although it's been done quite a bit, and we'll continue to do that. Radko Gudas gets a five-game suspension. I think it's a terrible look for the NHL. What do you say? And we got some great basketball matchups coming up, including the ACC final, number one Duke against number two Virginia. Then you have the Big 12, Arizona against Houston. And Houston absolutely obliterated Kansas last night, so it's number one versus number two. And then the Big East, this is a reminder of old days in the Big East basketball tournament. Number one St. John's against number two UConn. That'll be later tonight. So 412-928-9370. We have Simon Says on the line here. Nick, let's get to him. What's up, Simon?
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
Good. How are you? Do you like when I say Simon Says, or would you rather me not do that?
No, I like it. It's fine.
Okay.
So I just want to talk to you a little bit about the Penguins. You know, I'm really optimistic about this team. I think it's a little unsustainable without Crosby, but Malkin gets back next game. I really like how Rust has stepped up. You know, guys like Novak, too. And I know it goes under the radar, but even Soderblom with Brazo missing time. But, you know, with Girard out, I'm not a big fan of Soloviev. Clifton's okay, but, you know, I think when these guys get healthy, I'm really optimistic about this team. I wanted to get your thoughts.
I have been all year, Simon. I have. And I said so from the beginning because I liked just getting to talk to Dan Muse a couple of times, just strategy and how he's going to not shy away from younger players, a big believer in four lines. And I think you've seen that. Even that game the other night against Vegas, through two periods, they had outshot them 14-11.
Right.
And they controlled the pacing, even without Crosby, without Malkin, without Brazeau, without Girard. They were missing a lot of pieces, and yet they, I thought, dictated how the game was being played. You know, Vegas wants to get some up-and-down stuff going. They have players who are good at that. The Penguins kind of controlled them, and then all of a sudden there were some breakdowns and odd man breaks, which you don't normally see this team make, and once that happened...
The turnovers.
But also, and while I know some of these were grade-A chances, Shelov has got to make a save or two in those situations just to get them and bail them out.
And I was just going to say that, you know, I really do like Shelov, but for me, at least of late, I kind of wish they would let Skinner play a little bit more. I think he has more experience. I like what he does with the glove more, and I get the defense broke down a little bit against Vegas. You know, I love Letang, but he looked a little bit like a step behind.
Yeah.
But I really do think Skinner recently, he just looks more experienced. He looks more poised. I'd like to see him play a little bit more than just like the back and forth.
I think you saw what Skinner did in the Carolina game, even though they lost that game. He made some just bell-ringing saves, or, you know, just tremendous, because Carolina was coming at them for a while. Simon, I will agree with your point in this. If they get to the playoffs and they're healthy, I think you're going to find a very difficult team to play in the Pittsburgh Penguins. I don't expect anything beyond that, but I expect them to play and make really difficult out. You know what I mean? They have the players to do it, and if they get back to what they did at the beginning of the season, which was capitalizing on their power plays, shorthanding it has been pretty good. They got a fourth line that I think is among the best in hockey.
Yep.
It's a tough out. So they just got to hold off the Islanders, who thankfully lost in regulation yesterday. So
yeah. Thanks for the Kings.
LA Kings messing with the Eastern Conference a little bit. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Simon.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir. Anytime at 412-928-9370. So tonight it's Utah Mammoth, and that's a good team as well. They've accumulated some points, and they've had some big wins. Another thing I wanted to get to is, in case you missed it, and you may have noticed this if you were watching, but the Players' Championship this morning down at TPC Sawgrass, they delayed people getting in there because they had a killing shooting just nearby, and two people lost their lives. The guy who was the perpetrator and suspect was running through TPC Sawgrass, and again, I don't know what time of the day this was, but it must have been early. Maybe it was dark outside. How he avoided sand traps and water, I'll never know. And they sicked the canines on him, and they eventually got him, not before he stole a courtesy car from the Players' Championship. But he's been apprehended, thankfully, and they find out that he has been a multiple-time offender, and Again, this is just inexplicable. The people, they call them repeat offenders, and when they keep repeating, don't be surprised if they keep repeating. Let's go to Ryan in New Jersey. Hello, Ryan. How are you?
Bob, a couple things real quick about the Gudas. And so I read the article, I think it was in the Trib, whichever paper's not going out of business out there,
yeah,
about the SEA and the Sports and Exposition Authority about Fenway Sports Group reneging on their promises to invest in the district. So and I'm not surprised at all. When Fenway bought the Pens, people thought they were getting the 2005 Fenway. They got the 2020 Fenway. They were very different. So I'm glad to see them sell the team. I'm really worried about the Hoffman Group being undercapitalized. The worst thing in sports you can have is a team that doesn't want to spend the salary cap and sets a budget. That's basically the Carolina Hurricanes, which, if you notice, they don't win cups.
I don't think it's because of their team roster. I think it's because they just don't play the kind of hockey they need to play in the playoffs. They have a really good team.
That's part of it, but they're always in the top 8 to 15 at the end of the year in cap space available, and that's a bad sign. If you want to look, you got to spend. I mean, if you want to win, you got to spend. I know that spending does not equal winning championships, but you can't hamstring your resources. That's just my personal view. Back to the Gudas stuff, and I don't like the comparison that he took out Crosby. I know he did. However, Crosby, I think, was more hurt on the previous hit than the Gudas one. I mean, he's a goon. He's, you know, any Flyer trash I'm going to hate. So that's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. But I think those are the hit the other night, which was pathetic, because then he dove after he stuck the knee out to look like it was unintentional,
right.
Which he did it twice this year. He did it to somebody, I think, on the Hurricanes earlier in the year. The guy didn't get hurt, but he did the exact same play.
Yeah, I can only get you with my knee. He always goes after the big names, something. Too. Yeah,
well, that's the way it is. But what I'm interested about from a league dynamic perspective, and the Pens are kind of in a precarious position because they still look like they're in good shape, but this could get away from them in a 3 or 4 game stretch where they're at now because their margin is down to 0. The games are running short. So I'm afraid that when Crosby and Malkin jump back in, they're not going to go. I mean, they're not going to be. They may have to readjust again. They could really easily kind of be on the outside and drop down to like 10th in the conference in a blink if they don't come out flying and, you know, win the next 6 games in a row. So I'm a little worried about that. But the thing about the Gudas hit is Crosby signed one. He's not going to exercise it, but he signed one. Then Matthews signed one, and then McDavid signed one. They signed trade me contracts, 3-4, 3-2-year deals at relatively high value, but not top of the market, where they can force their way out of their markets if they want to. And Matthews is the prime candidate for that because they have treated him and Brady Tkachuk like absolute trash up there since the Olympics. I mean, Canada really needs to regulate itself on taking it too seriously.
I would not be surprised if Matthews played his last game as a Toronto Maple Leaf.
And that fits this narrative about the trade me contract because he could force his way out, and they want to bring their hometown boy, McDavid, home in Toronto. So you could see, you know, and Edmonton has lost. I mean, they got the worst goalie on the planet. We don't need to comment on that. But Edmonton has lost. McDavid, I think, signed a 2-year deal at $13 million or whatever.
Yeah, he wanted to see if they would upgrade their goaltending. And
a prove-me contract.
Yeah,
prove it to me. That's sending a message. So he could end up in Toronto in a year or next year, and Matthews could end up somewhere south of the border, which is going to be the Rangers, unfortunately, but whatever.
You mentioned Jarry. I was looking over his numbers this morning, and just
– terrible.
Oh, my God. Every single game, and Draisaitl's been riding him without saying his name, calling out the goalie all the time.
Yeah, and then Jarry started to fight back a little bit, which Matt Murray had that tendency, too, to kind of be like, well, I can't do it on my own. I was like, well, you can guard your net on your own. You can keep the puck out of the net on your own. I get it. You don't want to face two-on-ones, but at the same time, yeah, Jari's just been atrocious, and then some of the Edmonton people that you see on, like, the feeds say, well, let's send him down to condition him. Oh, no, not Jarry. That doesn't work.
You know, Ryan, I will say
AHL.
This. Yeah, I will say this, that Dubas waited for his moment. If you remember, Jarry got off to a really good start here. And I think, you know,
then he dumped him.
And then he dumped him, and he got a tremendous trade out of that. In this is his last 10 games, Jarry. 41 goals against, an .816 save percentage, .509 goals against, 7 games with 4-plus goals allowed.
It,
I mean, it's just...
He's given up 7 or 8 goals in a game. Like, this is just... This is nuts. Everything goes in, but we'll see. I'm really hoping the Pens get this one tonight. This is a big game.
It is.
This is what the Islanders and the Jackets have cupcakes today. So
and listen, you mentioned about going through a bad streak. This could be it. Now they got to avoid that by beating Utah tonight before they go to Colorado and Carolina again in succession. Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it, man. Have a good day. We got the Hawk. Is this the Hawk? This is the Hawk report.
This is Hawk. This is not that Hawk. This is the true Hawk.
I was trying to get Callis to do a Hawk thing. You've never done it.
This is HAUK Hawk. Bob, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, sir.
Thank you.
Hey, I just had something I wanted to put out there and get your thoughts on. How is it possible that the NFL draft is supposed to bring in $250 million in Pittsburgh has a $40 million deficit on its budget? How is that even possible?
Is it possible to have a $40 million budget? Most areas do because of lack of leadership and lack of good, stuff for the city. I mean, they're spending too much, is what you're saying.
But shouldn't we be able to funnel some of those funds that we're getting from the draft to help the city out? Isn't it kind of insane?
Well, I think I don't know the specifics, Hawk, so I'm not going to try to figure it out. This math stuff, it goes beyond me. But there's got to be, it makes a lot of money for downtown, for the area, in terms of businesses, hotels, restaurants, all the stuff. The cultural district will make that, and those are all part of it. But you're right, as far as the city itself, I've got to believe there's a way that they should be able to get something out of that to help their deficit. But I don't know how that works.
Right, Bob?
What's that?
Yeah, I don't either. One would think though that the city should be flush with cash after hosting such an event. It's just kind of mind-boggling.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it though. I think it's going to be a fun event, even though it's going to be crowded, as you can imagine. But thank you for the call, Hawk. Hopefully, they'll figure it out and use the money wisely. But the Steelers will have on a year where they host the NFL draft, which is coming up April 23rd, 4th, and 5th. They're going to have the most picks, 12 of them. The Ravens will have 11, the Jaguars will have 11, the Patriots will have 11. So that's a lot of picks, and they won't obviously use all of them on draft people, but what they will do is trade some of them to move up, and it'll be very interesting to see where they trade up, because I think that's going to be one of the keys here. They have people, and I'm wondering, we see a lot of the negotiations that are going on, and I think they're trying to make people think that they're doing one thing while doing another. And we've heard so many great things about Will Howard, and I believe they're all true, but I also think they're done with a reason. I go back to when Mike Tomlin was touting Malik Willis, and everybody thought Malik Willis was going to be picking. Out of the blue, it's Kenny Pickett. Could they be doing that with a Will Howard situation and making people think they won't take a quarterback, but they might take a quarterback, and maybe it's Simpson out of Alabama. I don't know. I mean, that's part of the gamesmanship that goes on with these drafts and some of the words you hear out of them. I know this. They still need a wide receiver. They did themselves well by bringing in Michael Pittman Jr. I like him a lot. I think McCarthy likes him a lot. He is an upstanding guy. He spoke beautifully yesterday at the first press gathering where he talked about he had stuttering issues, had to work through them. But he's a real good team guy, and he's killed the Steelers on several occasions there. And remember last year he played on a team that had Daniel Jones is its quarterback, but some pretty good players on the offensive arsenal, like Jonathan Taylor, the running back, like Tyler Warren, the big tight end out of Penn State who made an impact, Josh Downs and Alec Pierce and him. So I know this about Mike McCarthy. He likes to employ multiple tight ends. So even though they brought Pittman in, and they lost Calvin Austin too. So I do think you're going to see them draft a receiver. Maybe first round, that's what I'm thinking. But it could be maybe second round, depending on some of these other needs they may have. They've done a pretty good job. And again, this is all on paper, so it's easier to say this now than it would be to watch them play, because I think over the years we all tend to look at it. Every team does. Wow, look at this on paper. But on paper, you have a pretty good defensive situation with Jaquan Brisker bringing in from the Bears, because now your safety position, if you thought originally it was going to be Ramsey, no. Ramsey is more effective to me in a slot corner position. You have Jamel Dean, you have Joey Porter Jr., and then you have Brisker and Deshaun Elliott back there. I think that's a pretty good secondary to have. Now, there are going to be some, who knows what's going to happen with the inside linebackers. I know that Patrick Queen was due a payment yesterday. I believe he got it by the Steelers, which would limit any trade discussion, I would think. You also have Cam Hayward signing for another year, but they brought in another guy, Sebastian Joseph Day from Tennessee. He's older, he's 31 or 32, But, I mean, he's capable. He's been on some good teams. I think he was with the Rams when they won a championship. And he still is pretty good at what he does. They need bodies there. There's no question about that, to complement some of the younger guys they have. So on paper, it looks like a pretty good situation. We'll see what they do in the draft, but it's going to be very intriguing. And those of you coming down, part of something you may never see again in your lifetime. I don't know how often drafts return to cities. They've started this thing. I remember when it was back in one room at Radio City Hall, Radio City, where the Rockettes, but whatever it is, Radio City. And that was it. It was done in one day. Now it's, and the NFL knows how to market better than anybody. They've turned this into quite an event. And this team, the Steelers, made sure it was coming to Pittsburgh. They worked hard in getting in here. So kudos to them, and it means a lot of money coming into the city. At 412-928-9370. Some big matchups tonight I wanted to talk about. Number one, Duke. Number two, Virginia. Duke's a little shorthanded, but they're, man, they're going to be the number one seed, I would think, the overall seed heading in the NCAAs. But Virginia, the Cavaliers are a very good team. Arizona-Houston is going to be a battle to watch. That's in the Big 12 championship. Houston just dismantled Kansas. Arizona won on a buzzer beater. Both very good teams. And then the one in the Big East, man, this is old school Big East, where you have St. John's against UConn. That'll take place tonight at Madison Square Garden. Jim and Greenchi joins us next. Hello, Jim. How are you today?
I'm good, Bob. Hey, I just wanted to add a couple points. I know Greg called in about Connor Griffin and whether he should start in the majors. And absolutely, as Greg said, he's a phenom. You got to bring him up and let him play for several reasons. I mean, if you look at a much more difficult, physically demanding sport like hockey, we have Ben Kindle, who's 18. He's mixing it up with 30-year-old, mature-bodied, grizzled veterans every night, and he's holding his own.
Yep.
Not only that, but you imagine all the jersey sales, et cetera, that Nutting would get by bringing the kid up and putting him in the lineup, and the eyeballs, both in person and on TV, that would be, you know, attracted by that. And then the last thing I'll mention is, you know, and you'll remember this, and the older guys will remember, Al Kaline, fantastic Hall of Famer.
Detroit Tigers.
Yep. Right, almost 20-year career. I think 400 home runs and hit around 300 lifetime average. Tremendous outfielder. He was 18 when he went up, Bob. He never played one inning of minor league baseball. He went directly from high school to the pros. So those are my comments on
it. Well, the last guy to be a teenager on a major league roster was Ken Griffey Jr. back in 1989. And yeah, you're right about that. And I think it's a good point, Jim, that you look at a guy like Kindle, and I think what they saw in him was a guy who understood the game, who was willing to play all parts of the game, the 200-foot game. Yeah, he's 18. Yeah, his body is not anywhere near what it will be, and he's going up against some big-time guys, and yet he's held his own, as you said. If you see that in Connor Griffin, if you see this maturity, which I do, a maturity, he understands it, he knows, he's very aware of what he does defensively, he's fast, the hitting will come. But I am not of the belief that he needs to be sent down to AAA. Now, he may need it. And there's nothing wrong with that because Mike Trout went through that. He started up here. He went back down after he started slowly, then reemerged. So whatever they do, it won't be long before you see him here.
I agree, but I think he should start opening day. I mean,
so do I.
Obviously, he's the best defensive player we have. We have suffered with guys that couldn't hit for the last 5 years at every infield position. So, you know, at least you have the best glove on the field. So,
Jim, thank you for the call. Appreciate that. I tend to agree, I think. But whatever the case, it won't be long. That'll be the situation with Connor Griffin if he does not start here. 412-928-9370. I want to remind you that Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And also the Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. Coming up, I'm going to get your take on Jeff Capel being retained by the Pitt Panthers after a losing season and only one NCAA tournament appearance in 8 years. But Alan Green spelled it out. There are reasons for this to happen. We'll get into that and ask your take on it. Welcome back as we continue. Bob Pompeiani here along with Nicholas Callis. He's behind the glass taking your calls at 412-928-9370. Pirates have another game today. They've had a very good spring, and we will find out as the roster gets closer to being there what's going to happen. We have a lot of basketball on tap today, too, so I want to get into some of those matchups. And there are two big games over at PPG Paints Arena You're going to have St. Louis, which had to overcome a 21-point deficit last night to beat George Washington. They're 27-4, number one seed. They'll be taking on Dayton. And then after that, St. Joe's and VCU. And VCU ended Duquesne's season last night in a tough game, 71-66. David Dixon, full credit to him. And man, I love to see this throwback. David Dixon spent all 4 years at one school, Duquesne, 129 games, more than anyone else on the roster. He got a nice little send-off last night and well-deserved. 412-928-9370. Let's go to Jim in Jefferson, who joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. Hello, Jim.
Hi, Bob. You know, there's so many reasons why I think this was a good move and probably a great move for Pitt to keep and retain Capel. And I could get into them. First of all, the man has a 500 record. He's 127-127. It's not like he's had a completely losing record. He was Coach of the Year 3 years ago in the ACC.
Yes, he was.
Why didn't he didn't get into the tournament there? Because people like Joe Lenardi and a few others that rate the teams first in, first out, had a thing on for ACC that year. And I remember we got, I think, four teams into that tournament that year. It ended up three of the ACC teams were in the Elite Eight, and two went to the Final Four. And they were trying to say that the ACC was a bad league. I mean, it was ridiculous. And then, but let's talk about the players. First of all, he lost a 6'10 Nagoya, and that was personal problems. He lost him as a forward. He lost his starting, and these were all big NIL money, the starting center.
Yeah, Deshaun Jackson, who had like a heart problem or something like
that. Heart murmur, never played. And then he lost Papa Conte, another 6'10 player. So he had to make Cameron Korn a center, who was naturally a forward. So he worked with him and did that. And then B.B. Cummings, he lost him about halfway through there. And then Korn actually had a bad ankle for several weeks. I don't know how he did it, but he kept that team playing with six and seven guys. He had that Amari, the young freshman, come in to play. He was able to get some kind of a rotation.
Yeah,
and
listen,
they played hard.
I get it. And they won four of their last five, I think, to get into the tournament, had to go to Syria. All that's fine. It is a results-based business, though, and that's why I thought they were going to make a move. Well, but I understand. Well, yeah, I understand in this new NCAA right now, man, you got to have NIL money. You have coaches' buyouts, which affect the money you can spend on other people, because Pitt does not have a lot of money to spend versus teams like Arkansas, versus teams like Alabama, or all these teams in the SEC who have all sorts of deep-pocketed fans who can support them. Pitt needs more of that, and until they get out, they got to figure out. To me, it's a 1 year extension. If things go badly next year, because he has another thing in his honor, in his corner was the fact that he has a pretty good recruiting class coming in. If he keeps it together,
top 12,
right?
It's the top 12 in the country right now.
Four star guys,
top 40. Yep. Two men in the top 40, and one is 93 out of 100. That's another.
So I understand why the decision was made, but I think the results obviously have got to start changing because it hits you in the pocketbook so many times, like with attendance and everything else.
I have a personal reason, too, about Coach Capel. He's a good man, and he learned that from Coach K.
Yes, I agree with that.
A friend, Bill Priaco, who knew Coach K very well because his sons went to Army. Well, anyway...
Yeah, I think the bottom line is.
But anyway, what was I going to tell you about that? I'm sorry, I got interrupted there for a second. But you know, Bill passed on something to. He knew Capel because Coach K used to invite Bill and his son down to Duke every year. His son was Danny was in the Army Rangers. He was hurt pretty badly, but Coach K would bring him down for a game every year. And he mentioned to Coach Capel he saw him over at Pitt, and Bill. And Bill mentioned about the fact that I had come down with some cancer that I was being treated for. Do you know Capel sat down, sent me a personal letter? That's the kind of man he is.
That's great. Okay? I hope you're doing well with that, too.
He's a good man.
I agree.
He's a good man, and his players like him. They like playing for him.
All right, Jim. I got to move along.
Nobody knows the ACC better.
He does. And listen, I get why they retained him. I think it's more money-related than anything else. The results have got to be better. But there are issues that every team deals with, injuries, transfers, whatever. It's still a bottom line business. The bottom line has got to be better. You're right. He was an ACC Coach of the Year back in 2022-23. They got to the NCAAs. He followed that up with, I thought, another NCAA appearance. I thought they got screwed out of that, to be honest. But these things happen, and they got to get to the next level here. They do. So he's getting essentially a one-year extension here, even though his contract runs to the end of the decade, I believe, because that's what Heather Light gave him. I think Allen Green will see how it goes after this year, and if this group coming in is good, then everything will remain as it is. He's done the work on the recruiting, so let's see how that goes. And I get it, but they got to turn it around sooner rather than later. 412-928-9370. We got Tomcat in Mount Lebanon joining us right now. What's up, Tomcat?
Bob, as a WVU alum and fan, I have to say, for that last caller, from his mouth or from his lips to God's ears, keep Capel, keep him around, extend him.
And no. I'm not in for extensions. And he already has an extension that runs through the end of the decade. I would say earn it.
Well, as a WVU fan, I would love to see Jeff Capel extend.
Right, because you just beat them by 22 points, didn't you?
Yes. Yes. No, it is mind-boggling, though, that they keep him. I was reading some Pitt message boards last night, and the entire fan base is dumbfounded. You know, to have a guy who's had 9 years and one NCAA tournament.
8 years.
And 8 years, and they're keeping him is just astounding. And you know, it is so hard for a school like Pitt or West Virginia to continue in this arms race.
To me is the number one issue, and you guys know at West Virginia, it's the same thing. West Virginia hasn't had a good team in a long time, right?
It's been 5 years.
It's really difficult to get the money that you need to bring some of these guys in. I looked at what BYU did with A.J. DeBanza, who's going to be maybe the number one pick in the NBA draft. Of all people, I wouldn't expect BYU to come up with the kind of money they did, but if you have – people who are with your program and want to help the program, unfortunately, a lot of the money has to go straight to the NIL. If you're dealing with a coach who has a $15 million buyout, all that money that may be destined for the NIL has to go to him first. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it's really complicated versus what it used to be. Used to be it was simple. You have one NCAA in 8 years, you're gone, period.
Yeah. One thing I was reading last night on the Pitt message boards is that there are rumors that Notre Dame – in football has 35 to 40 million in NIL funds available. Now, Pitt and West Virginia, I have heard, are somewhat similar in NIL. They're between 7 to 15 million.
I don't even think it's that big.
Well, West Virginia's is then. So if you're Pitt or West Virginia, should you not be leaning more into basketball, where you actually can win a national title with two great players and probably $8 to $10 million, versus in football, like West Virginia claims they're 20 million for football. That's still like 40th in the country.
Yeah, but football is a bigger revenue producer. Even when they lose, it's a bigger revenue producer. And I think that's all.
I agree.
That's part of it.
I just wonder at what point do fans of schools like us, Pitt in Virginia Tech, just say, we can't do it in football, let's try to win a basketball title.
Thanks, Tomcat. Appreciate the call. It's like baseball right now, being smaller economic cities versus the big dogs. And that's why they may have a work stoppage at the end of this. I think it's very difficult to compete when you know you only have so much money involved. And the way this has gone, and I didn't like it the way it went, because it just came off the rails, no guardrails at all to protect these teams. Other than the ones who have all these big-time money people involved in their corners. So it's not easy. And I get what Athletic Director Green did. I get it. But at some point, the results have got to change. And this will be the year. I think it's a one-and-maybe-done situation. But Capel's got to get his recruits in here. It's a good class to see what he does with it. And they should get back in the NCAAs. And if he does, I don't want to talk about extensions. He already has an extension. I'll just let it play out and see where we are in 3 years from now. 412-928-9370. Let's go to Guy in California. Hey, Guy, how are you?
Bob, it's a beautiful day for hockey.
It always is.
Certainly a beautiful day here in Southern California. Listen, you know, I said before the Olympics my concern about these mid-season national tournament plays, and obviously the Crosby injury speaks for that. And then the injuries that impacted the league. You know, Fiala's injury possibly cost the L.A. coaches Hiller's his job,
yep,
although he was probably going to be fired anyways. And Las Vegas hasn't been the same after the Olympics either. I mean, the U.S. players, Eichel and Hanifin,
was still hungover, and the Canadian players, Marner and Theodore and Stone, they're still in grief counseling. But real quick about the Penguins, my concern is the Penguins may fall down to the wild card one or two, in which case they would play either the
Not
Hurricane,
good. Yeah,
or they could end up playing Buffalo Sabres right. or Tampa on the other side of it. And if they play the Buffalo is just feeling it right now. Unlike Toronto, the Sabres have a pack mentality. And you saw that when they played Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
And one last thing about the Penguins, Bob, these overtime and shootout losses, you know, we're sitting here again, Bob, sitting here again talking about the same old thing.
Yeah, it hasn't changed, and honestly, it's to me, it's more shooters. They're not scoring enough. Their percentage of scoring is way down. I don't know if they tried Ben Kindle the other day, which was good. He scored on it. I'll go with different people until I see the results change. Thanks for the call, guy. Got to go to a break here. It's 412-928-9370. Want to remind you once again that the fan Twitter page is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net, and the fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associate, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. When we come back, more calls up until 1 o'clock, and I believe Paul Alexander is on deck. He'll be here with you throughout the afternoon so you can continue the conversation. I want to also get into Paul Skeens and the lineup he will be facing from the Dominican Republic tomorrow night as USA takes on DR in the semifinals. It's all coming up. All right, welcome back. We move along here at 412-928-9370. So, tomorrow, we got the big World Baseball Classic in the semifinals. One game will feature Italy against Puerto Rico, and that's the day game at night. It's going to be the Dominican Republic against USA, and that means Paul Skeens will face Nicholas Callis. This lineup, Juan Soto, Fernando Tatis, Ketel Marte, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Manny Machado, Junior Caminero, O'Neill Cruz, Julio Rodriguez. So, I'm anxious to see Cruz against Skeens. These are the kinds of things that I want to see with these matchups that they have. I'm not – this World Baseball Classic is fun, but to me it's not that big a deal compared to Olympics because they do it so early in the season. How many innings will Skeens go, and where are the problem areas with this Dominican lineup? Because it's pretty much loaded.
The problem areas are everywhere. I think they can get Skeens through five solid innings. I know the pitching limits now are closer to, 80 pitches, 90 pitches. I didn't even realize at the beginning of the tournament they had pitch limits, so I think that's also a good idea. But I'd say he'll give five solid innings. I think he can be efficient. I mean, there's a lot of problem areas, but Skeens is what I'm going to say is one of, if not the best pitcher of our generation.
Yeah, no question. And I think those guys will find that out if they don't know already. But it is a loaded lineup. And same there's can be said about the USA.
Yeah,
I think I saw the name of the guy I don't recognize from the Dominican who's pitching.
Luis Severino.
Is he pitching? I thought it was somebody else.
That's what I saw on the website.
Oh, if it's Severino, then it's different. I understand Severino's got some clout there. But he has a loaded lineup to deal with USA as well. So
yeah, MLB.com, Luis Severino.
This is why I watch for a game like this one. I think this is going to be good. But that's tomorrow at 8 o'clock. In the meantime, the Pirates still have decisions to make, and they're getting to the point where they're going to have to make those decisions here, getting set for the opener in just about 12 days from now. Let's go back to the lines. Bob in Turtle Creek joins us right here on the Bob Pompliani Show. Hey, Bob. Rob.
Bob, hey, Rob. Hey, it's Rob in Turtle Creek.
Rob.
Hey, Bob, good to talk to you.
You too.
Hey, going back to your caller there, Wildcat down in West Virginia somewhere, he made the statement that, you know, it was almost unanimous that the Pitt alumni or the Pitt fan base was against the keeping of Cape. Well, that's just wrong. I mean, most of the callers yesterday afternoon to start the show with Pony and Mueller were definitely on the Capel side. Reason being, you know, at the beginning of the year, yeah, when things started to go south, even at the first part of the ACC season, I was down on him. But the way he held things together, he showed me he could coach. And, you know, who else are we going to get right now? And what are you going to do? You're going to throw away a recruiting season?
I think that's the biggest reason why he was retained. It was the NIL money that they need, and they have three four-star recruits coming in. They want to keep that class together, and you can turn things around in basketball pretty quickly if you do it the right way. So I think that was the number one reason why Allen Green decided to keep him.
Well, the thing that I'm so upset about is that things have to change with the NIL. I'm out. I'm completely out as far as a season ticket holder. I was a season ticket holder for years, football and basketball at Pitt, and I'm done. I'm not, you know, I'm not going to, you know, my hard-earned money, you know, these kids are 18 years old, unproven, and they're coming in and they're getting $3, $4, $5 million a year. It takes me a lifetime to earn that kind of money. No, hell no, I'm not doing that.
No, and I think that's the problem. And you don't know who they are. They come and they go, and it's like a vagabond society, you know. It's rare to get a David Dixon type who spent 4 years at Duquesne and wanted to be at Duquesne.
Did you know
Carlos Boozer? Reportedly, Carlos Boozer, the number one Duke player who's going to probably be 1-2 in the draft, depending on where a Bansa goes, I think was going to get $6.7 million. Cooper Flagg money. When you get that kind of money as an 18, 19, 20-year-old kid or whatever, and you may take it and leave immediately, I mean, how does it help your program? Unless that person is so good that you could ride him all the way to the NCAA Final Four. And that's what people are hoping for here.
It's asinine that it's gotten this far. And I can't believe that they haven't come down, the schools haven't gotten together and said, you know what, contracts. If you're going to get this kind of money, you're going to have a contract with us, and that's it. I'm waiting for the first school or the first, you know, first conference that's going to say, you know, we're not doing this anymore.
I think it should have been in place before they ever got down this street. You know what I mean? They should have had some sort of system in place before they ever said, okay, NIL. They opened it up to free agency, and it didn't matter who you were, where you came from. You can ask for whatever you want. And so, of course, the teams have the deepest pocket as far as their fan base. They're going to get the lion's share. I think John Calipari went to Arkansas for that very reason. And why wouldn't you? If you have guys who are going to give you that much money, your NIL list could be $20 to $30 million if there's no control over how much you actually get or give. So anyway, thanks for the call, man. I'm up against it. I appreciate it. Rob in Turtle Creek, that'll be our final caller today. Paul Alexander will be coming up here in just a couple of minutes. It's a big day over at PPG Paints Arena. Two big A-10 semifinals, St. Louis Dayton at 1 o'clock, and then coming up, it's St. Joe's and VCU, a team that eliminated Duquesne last night. As far as some of the other matchups really to watch, Duke and Virginia 1-2 in the ACC. Big 12 will feature number 1 Arizona, number 2 Houston, and the Big East old school matchup here, number 1 St. John's, Rick Pitino against number 2 UConn, Danny Hurley. They have split two games during the regular season. This will be one to watch for sure. The Penguins in action tonight, taking on Utah. They need 2 points very badly. The Islanders lost in regulation yesterday, so they're both in with 79 points. The Penguins do have one game in hand there. And as far as the Steelers, they brought in Sebastian Joseph Day to add to their free agent group. 31-year-old, 6'4", 310 defensive lineman with the Titans, has won a Super Bowl championship with the Rams. He gets 2 years, $11 million to add to Rico Dowdle, Michael Pittman Jr., Jamil Dean, and Jaquan Brisker. Out of Gateway, he comes back home for that one. So looking forward to seeing what that defense might be able to look like as this goes on. Also, the Riverhounds will take on Loudoun United FC tonight on the road. Riverhounds come home on Tuesday night for their first game. They are the defending champions of the USL. And they'll be in action in a U.S. Open Cup matchup on Tuesday. That's March 17th over at Highmark Stadium. That's going to do it. Mr. Callis, thank you very much. Appreciate your time back there. I know you'll be riding through the afternoon with Paul Alexander. Paul will be up here next as we continue to talk sports with you as we do every weekend right here on Sports Radio 93.7. The Fan, I want to give you the weather before I go. And that is brought to you by Secure Money Advisors. Looking to retire? Let Secure Money Advisors get your retirement on track. Chilly and cooler today. High of 47 tomorrow. It's going to be in the 60s, which is nice. And then we'll see. It's going to change again abruptly. This is March weather, ladies and gentlemen, which you get on a regular basis. I'm Bob Pompeiani. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow on the number one Cochrane Sports Showdown, KDK TV, 11:35 every Sunday night. Have a great weekend.